Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hi everyone and welcome back to Profit and Beauty. So on today's show, I'm going to discuss the new law that was handed down by California's Supreme Court, which threatens to abolish the booth rental model. Now, I think it's important that salon owners in every state pay close attention to how this law evolves over time, because if whatever the state of California is trying to achieve becomes successful, according to their measurements, whatever those measurements are, other states will eventually attempt to adopt the same law. Now, for a while, some years ago, the IRS was toying around with the idea of adopting a very similar law. And if that happens, it will affect all 50 states on a federal level. Now, in April, a landmark decision was handed down by the California Supreme Court that requires independent contractors to become employees if the service that they offer is within the usual course of their employer's business. So what does this mean? So basically, this means that if you own a hair salon and work in your business, or just owning a hair salon in general, and you work in your business as a hairstylist, you can no longer classify your stylists as independent contractors or booth renters. They have to now be classified as employees of the business. Now, the April 2018 court ruling now says workers are assumed to be employees unless all three of these factors can be proven. So what are these three factors that California says must exist in order for you to be able to classify your worker as an independent contractor? Okay, so number one, the business owner cannot control how the person they hire does the work they are assigned to do, whether it be for that one project or in general. So basically, you can provide your worker or the person that you hire with a deadline as to when you want the job done, but you cannot control how they do the job or where they do the job or any other aspects of how they actually perform the service. The number two requirement is that the worker performs work that is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. This means that if you own a hair salon, anyone you hire that does hair cannot be classified as an independent contractor because they offer the same service that the business itself provides its customers. And it's not necessarily just doing hair, anything. It could be doing nails, it could be doing makeup, or just anything that is considered within the beauty industry, a service that a salon performs. You can't hire someone who performs those exact same services and then turn around and classify them as independent contractors. So in order for a worker to qualify as an independent contractor, they have to perform a service that has nothing to do with styling hair or doing hair or something that is related to the beauty industry. And the number three requirement is that the worker is customarily engaged in an independently established trade occupation, or business of the same nature as the work that they perform. Now, this one sounds a little bit confusing, but it sounds like what they're saying is that the person you are hiring is typically engaged in an independent trade or business of the same nature as the work they performed. And I think I just repeated myself slightly. But what this means is that if you hire a person to handle the salon's marketing, that person must own an established business, okay? So an established business, in my estimation, means that the business should be able to prove that it stands alone as a business. And I think that California's reasoning for this is that they don't want businesses hiring individuals and paying them as independent contractors, whereas they're actually working for the business. So ordinarily, when you hire a marketer, that person can be hired as an employee to market your business for you, okay? Now, you hire a marketer and pay them as an independent contractor, but technically speaking, they're coming in to your business and they're working for your business. So California is trying to draw a clear line of distinction between anyone that you hire. So if you do hire someone to come in and do the marketing for your business, what California is saying is that that person has to have their own business. So in order to prove that that particular person is a business and not just some individual coming in to help you with your marketing, they would have to be an established business. An established business means that you have a business license. More than likely, you have insurance. You have your own EIN number. So whatever the person can use to show that they are a standalone and established business, separate from the person hiring them, is what is needed. So those are the three basic requirements that must exist in order for a person to be considered an independent contractor in the state of California. But I do strongly suggest that you speak with an attorney for clarification of this new law. My advice is that you speak with an attorney who is very familiar with California law, because California has some really quirky laws. So you want to make sure that you are getting advice from an attorney or a CPA that is very knowledgeable about California employment and tax laws. So let's break this bill down a little bit further so we can try to understand the intent of the law. So this new ruling came about because of a 2004 lawsuit, Dynamics Operations West versus Superior Court of Los Angeles. Now, Dynamics changed the status of its delivery drivers from employees to independent contractors. The employees filed a lawsuit because they said the work that they were performing didn't really change and they couldn't see a justification for the new reclassification. So prior to the April 2018 ruling, California courts relied on interpretations of a set of facts as well as previous court rulings to determine if a worker should be classified as an independent contractor or as an employee. Now, until the April 2018 ruling, the state relied on previous California Supreme Court decision S.G. Borrello and Son Incorporated versus Department of Industrial Relations, which is a case that was decided in 1989. Now, this particular case established that there was strong evidence in support of an employment relationship because of the right of the company to fire their workers at will without any cause. Now, there were other factors that were considered when the case was decided, but not all of the factors had to be met to determine whether a worker was an independent contractor or an employee. Now, the court also stated that generally, the individual factors cannot be applied mechanically as separate tests. They are intertwined and their weight depends often on particular combinations. So what that means is, just like with the IRS, there are several factors that are looked at and taken into consideration when trying to make the determination of whether a worker is actually an independent contractor or if they should have been classified as an employee. And there isn't just one fact that can be used to make the determination. It's usually a combination of facts, and the combination changes depending upon each industry. So for example, the same set of facts that the IRS uses to determine if a hairstylist is an independent contractor might not be the same set of facts that they use to determine whether a plumber is considered an independent contractor. So the process can become confusing, and it also leaves room for wide discretion and interpretation by the auditor. So it appears that California tried to simplify the process and close the gap with this new ruling by assuming all workers in the state of California are employees unless they can prove three main facts. So by implementing this new law, California has done away with the long list of facts that needed to be considered in the past when you were trying to determine if an individual has been misclassified as an independent contractor instead of being correctly classified as an employee. This test that California now uses to determine whether a worker has been misclassified as an independent contractor is called the ABC test. In the past, hair salons could work around the A and the C of the ABC test. However, now that the law has clearly defined the three expectations that must exist before a worker can be classified as an independent contractor, there is no longer a workaround. So let's break the ABC test down and relate each test back to the beauty industry. So let's start with the A. So in order for a worker to be considered an independent contractor, that worker must be free from the control and the direction of the hirer in connection with the performance of the work. Well, as we all know, booth rental salons have zero control of how the stylist performs their work. In addition to that, a booth rental stylist can come and go as they please. As a matter of fact, they don't even have to come to work for weeks on end. As long as they pay their booth rent, the salon owner will not demand that they show up to work. So based on this aspect of the A of the ABC test, a salon owner can easily pass this particular requirement. B of the test. The worker performs work that is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. Now, this is the part of the ABC standard that has caused booth renters to be affected by this new law, because salons hire workers that perform the same service that the salon business itself performs. And the C portion of the ABC test is that the worker has to customarily be engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business. So if you really think about it, booth rental salons can abide by this part of the ABC standard by simply requiring all booth renters to have their own business license, get their own insurance, and do whatever it takes to establish a clear distinction between the salon and the booth renter. So overall, booth rental salons fail the ABC test because of the requirement of the B portion of the ABC test. And that is why salons are now required to do away with the booth rental model and classify their workers as employees and no longer as independent contractors. Why is the state doing this? Well, I can think of two separate reasons why. One, they want to tighten the labor laws to make sure that workers are being treated fairly and not taken advantage of based on labor laws. Now, the second reason why I think the state is cracking down on worker classification is that the state high court recognizes that the misclassification of workers as independent contractors rather than as employees deprives both the federal and the state governments billions of dollars in tax revenues, and it deprives millions of workers the labor law protections to which they are entitled. So when you classify somebody as an independent contractor, they are basically 100% responsible for themselves. So technically speaking, as independent contractors, if anything should happen on the job, they do not have any rights. If they lose their job, they cannot collect unemployment because technically speaking, they were not employees. And there are several other labor laws that most that independent contractors are not enjoying if they are classified as independent contractors, while on the other hand, as an employee, there are laws that employers are required to abide by when they are dealing with employees. So based on the two reasons why I think California is adopting this new law, is the main reason why I believe this law is going to spread to all states at some point, because states are losing billions of dollars in payroll taxes due to worker misclassification. So I believe at some point, all states are going to adopt some variation of this new law. But if the IRS puts in place a law that is similar to this, automatically it's going to affect all 50 states, regardless of whether or not your state has adopted a law that is similar to California's new law. Now, another question that I've been asked is, how do I think traveling stylists are going to be affected by this new law? Now, traveling stylists in this context refers to stylists that move from salon to salon and pay a day rate based on the salon they are working in on any given day. So the answer to this question is nobody really knows. The government has not caught up with technology or the different ways that people work. This new gig economy has changed the way we work, so it's really hard to predict how this law will affect traveling stylists. Now, in a situation where the law is unclear, meaning there is no clear statute to turn to when trying to determine how the IRS or state will rule during an audit, we as CPAs wait for either case law to be established or for the government to come up with a clarifying memo or document or an addendum to a current statute that will help guide us when preparing for an audit. But I will say this, and this is off the record, whatever that means in this particular case. So let me take my CPA hat off and put on my auditor's hat for just a second. When I was an auditor for the Department of Revenue, if I were presented with this type of case where a salon hosted traveling stylists and was trying to make a determination based on the B section of the ABC rule, and there was no clear statute or case law for me to depend on to make my decision, I would, of course, first speak with my manager for guidance, okay? So once I've done that, then I will look at a pattern. I will look to see what state most of the traveling stylists live in. So if I'm dealing with a particular situation, or if I'm dealing with the salon, let's look at this from the actual salon standpoint. Let's assume that the salon itself is being audited, and I'm trying to determine whether or not the stylists that come into the salon to work should really be, you know, classified as, well, in this case, you can't even say independent contractors because they're traveling stylists. But let's just say we're looking at the salon and we're trying to make a determination. So what I would first do is, I would first want to find out what state most of the traveling stylists live in and how often each stylist works at that particular location. I would also like to get an idea of approximately how far each stylist lives from the salon. Now, the whole idea is to try and determine intent. I want to determine the intent of the salon owner and also the intent of the stylist. Is the stylist or is a stylist working at that salon 3 to 4 times a week while claiming to be a traveling stylist with the intention of not wanting to be classified as an employee? And I will say ditto for the salon owner. So is a salon owner accepting this so-called traveling stylist who is working 3 to 4 times in the salon, but she does not want to classify the stylist as an employee, so therefore she's claiming that the stylist is now a traveling stylist, even though the stylist lives less than 2 miles away and works at that salon 3 to 4 times a week. Now, the fact that the stylist lives 2 miles away in and of itself does not necessarily mean that that particular stylist is not a traveling stylist and the salon is not the host of that particular stylist. The thing is, we're just trying to determine how often does that particular stylist work there. So we're looking for intention and we're looking for a pattern. So I'm trying to determine whether host salons are trying to avoid classifying their workers as employees. And it's not going to be too hard to figure it out once the auditor starts digging around and starts looking at the pattern of all of the stylists that currently work there and also all of the traveling stylists. So these are some of the things I would pay attention to absent of any clear law. So if I, as the auditor, decides to reclassify a traveling stylist as an employee, and therefore I assess back payroll taxes together with penalties and interest to the host salon, the salon owner, who is considered the taxpayer, can request a hearing. If the taxpayer is not satisfied with the outcome of the state government's ruling, the case can go to court. Now, once the case goes to court and a decision has been made by a judge regarding the reclassification, that decision becomes case law and can now be used by any subsequent auditor when they are auditing a case with the same fact pattern. So this made-up scenario is a long way of saying I don't know how the new law will affect traveling stylists. My advice is to consult with an attorney for further clarification because my little scenario is just my best guess. So as we can see, this new law handed down by the Supreme Court in California has a huge effect on hair salons in California that used to hire independent contractors or used to hire booth renters. This is going to require some serious changes in your pay structure and also in just your overall structure of how you set up or how you run your business. So my advice to you is to speak to an attorney as it relates to employment laws and then speak to an accountant as it relates to how you are now required to pay your employees, setting up payroll, and just doing everything that is required to start paying your stylists as employees. There are times that people don't know whether to hire an accountant versus hiring an attorney. Now, my rule of thumb is if you are dealing with a situation that involves very, very complex business law, and this could be employment law or business contracts, then you probably need to speak with an attorney. For tax matters, you can speak with a tax attorney or you can speak with a tax accountant, depending on your specific issue. But if you're attempting to become compliant with payroll requirements or any other type of financial matter, which may also include tax matters and tax issues, a CPA or an accountant may be your best bet. Now, let me just say this. Before you attorneys and CPAs and accountants out there start blowing up my email telling me my rule of thumb is incorrect and it doesn't apply to them, let me just say that this is just a general rule of thumb. There are always exceptions to every rule. So you may have an attorney that is also a CPA and they can do it all. You may have a CPA who may not even do anything when it comes to taxes. So it just depends on what you want. So just do your research, try to find the best person that can help you with your particular case. And I always say the best thing to do is to try to get someone to refer you to someone. Or if you are on social media and you are following an attorney or you're following an accountant and there's someone out there that seems like they know what they're talking about, then you can possibly reach out to that person, okay? And to wrap up what we talked about today, as for the ABC test, well, that pretty much speaks for itself. If you are a salon, you can no longer hire a stylist who does the exact same work that your salon also performs. And if you do hire anyone for any other type of service, you also want to make sure that they are a standalone business. Well, that's it for today. I hope that I was able to clear some of the smoke around this new California law. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Desiree Anderson and also like my Facebook page at Profit and Beauty. And I'll talk to you all next time. Have a great day, everyone.